faster doesn't always mean better, Matthew. If we would do this podcast really, really fast, people wouldn't be able to understand it, which would be a terrible shame.
Do you really think that's the case, Thomas?
It's Tom Matt Attack.
Why are you so enthralled with the idea of speed this week, Thomas?
200cc on Mario Kart 8.
Oh, right, okay.
Not for the faint-hearted.
No, well, I kind of assumed this. I'm not really good enough to race 150cc on some of those courses, so 200 seemed a bit off to me.
Matthew, you have to brake.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
What?
And the Mario Kart where you have to brake is not Mario Kart in my book.
Why do you have to brake?
Because you go so fast.
Shit.
You'll hit the sides if you're trying to take a corner without braking.
Really?
Pretty much, yeah, on most of the courses. It's an acquired taste. Our good friend Austin seems to like it very much.
But, really? Our good friend Austin is fully into his 200cc's.
He's a guy who likes F-Zero GX.
He does, yes.
He says it's a lot more comfortable playing at 200.
Interesting. I do brake a lot while I play Mario Kart, though, and I think I've been doing that wrong, because I would take a corner. I brake in Mario Kart. I always have. Always will. I didn't really get the power slide
just
until
power
this game.
Slide, yeah.
Yeah, now I know that. Oh, right. But before that, I couldn't really do it.
Yeah.
So.
The news is that the extra tracks are great.
I hear a lot of the content is Animal Crossing skewed, though.
And well, that you get two Animal Crossing characters. You get an annoying dog thing, which is apparently
Isabel.
Very popular. And why, I don't know, because there's some great characters in Animal Crossing, and that dog seems like one of the least appealing things to me, but apparently people love her.
Animal Crossing's Isabel, I just plonked a little Isabel figure on the table. For those of you who pre-ordered the 3DS game will know the little figure you got from game.
It's very little.
It is very little on a triangle base. Don't plonk it down too hard because it doesn't really stand up. Yeah. It's a little bit bent. It's not the best quality. It's not got the Nintendo seal of approval. She's the new guide. Tom Nook and Totem are play less of a role.
Oh,
she's
really?
Like your secretary in the latest Animal Crossing.
You know, I want KK Slider as a racer.
I would love KK Slider as a racer. I would love Tom Nook as a racer.
Yeah,
think about it. Tom like, Nook. His special thing would just be a big bag of bells and he'd throw them at you. Or he'd throw, a lawn at you and it would instantly hit, a blue shell.
It's a shame they don't have these character-specific moves like they used to with Double Dash.
Yes.
But speaking of Double Dash, they did bring back Baby Park from Double Dash, which is quite nice.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Great track. You know, it's very simple.
Yeah.
But now it's permanently in a state of anti-gravity.
Okay.
So you can bounce off people all the time because it's at an angle the track is.
That's interesting.
I like this that they've, given new things to these tracks.
Of course, to play devil's advocate, it's just they didn't really have to do that much in terms of creating new tracks anyway, if it's just bringing back an old favourite.
What else have they got? They've got Neo Bowser City or something. It's from a 3DS game.
Okay.
It's a rainy Blade Runner type.
That sounds pretty
city
cool.
City level. It's not as cool as it sounds.
No.
And maybe the Blade Runner comparison.
Yeah, exactly.
Far.
I was just a cool Blade Runner.
And then what
sounds
else
a bit
have you got? You've got some kind of foresty one, which is very, very nice.
Yeah.
A magical forest level. You've got Big Blue from F-Zero, which is quite different than what I remember it.
Yeah.
Yep. And the Animal Crossing tracks, which change seasonally as well, so there can be a different season depending. It's a random thing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, depending on the time you play them, it's different.
No.
We've
played
them
a couple of different seasons in one evening. Yeah. There's a Cheese Land, which is from, I think, Super Circuit.
Everybody loves cheese. I can't remember it being... Yeah, maybe it's on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, that was just a few of them.
It's been a long time.
Top of my head. But I didn't know they were out, actually. It came as a total surprise.
I saw people on Twitter going like, oh, Mario Kart's released in the States, where's ours? And then it came and then everyone couldn't download it because all of them were trying to download it at the same time.
Well, weird thing happened with me. I didn't even think I downloaded it. I went on the East Shop to download it and found out he'd already done it.
Oh, okay. Then in the background, downloaded in the sleep mode thing.
Once. Yeah, and that was great because I had everything.
That's just cool.
Downloaded.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, enough America, eh? That's the news. It's out. I hope you're all enjoying the tracks. If you're a Mario Kart 8 player.
I can finally hook my Wii U up to the internet and partake of them. I shall hopefully be doing that this evening. I'm slowly setting up my consoles.
I think a few other people will have probably thought, I better play my Wii U now the tracks are out.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe it's been lying dormant for a while. And
yeah, did you see that Kirby finally got a release date in May?
Yeah, 8th of May.
The 8th of May.
Kirby and his Power Magic Paintbrush 2 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Something paintbrush in it. Like, I can't remember.
And they have some sort of offer on a few Kirby games. It's Kirby Weeks, they're
calling it. Yes, Kirby's Dream Land 3 is at half price at the moment. I saw that at least. I assume Adventures and
Kirby's Nightmare in Dream Land.
Okay, interesting. I wanted to play that game
the
for a long
Kirby's
time.
Kirby's Adventure remake.
Yes.
I had it on the... I have it. I own it for the Game Boy Advance.
But it's a pirate.
It's a pirate copy that you can't save on.
That sucks.
I really like the game, so I thought I'd pick it up at the bargain price it was, so I could actually get through it.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. How about you, Matt? Have you picked up any games this week?
I picked up a small few. Did I mention last week on the pod? No, I didn't, because I think I bought it on Monday. I picked up for the bargain price of £30, Thomas, a game that I have...
£30 doesn't sound like a bargain.
...oft talked about on this podcast, and that is Mega Man 5 the Game Boy.
Okay, now that one is a bit of a bargain.
It is a bit of a bargain. This is a cart that is slowly creeping up to the £100 mark, and to be honest, it's not as rare as that. Like, it is not a Trip World, it is not a Hammering Harry, it's not an Amazing Tater.
But it's Mega Man, so...
Exactly, because there's this market for Mega Man and Mega Man games, despite their commonality. Like, Mega Man 1 on the NES, one of the best-selling games on the system, goes for about 50, 60 quid these days. It's a bit insane. Weirdly, 2 and 3, which are slightly more obscure than the first one, not so much. It's just everyone wants that first appearance of Mega Man. And Mega Man 5 is the rarer of the Game Boy titles, admittedly, as is 4. 4 is quite expensive as well.
Right.
But this one is the most unique of them. Mega Man Dr. Wily's Revenge is a kind of a mashup of Mega Man 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then the four bosses that it doesn't use from 2 are then in Mega Man 2, which is 2 and 3. Then 3 is naturally 3 and 4. And then there's bits of 5 and 6 in the fourth Mega Man on the Game Boy. And then 5 is a totally original game, which also helps into its price that it's not a port of a game. It is a unique Mega Man title.
It sounds
on the
desirable.
Game Boy. It is. It's supposed to be very good, very challenging. It's got its own robot masters, which don't feature in any other game. So I'm quite interested to see what they are like. But I haven't actually played it. I will be honest, it arrived on Friday along with a copy of Sunsoft Grand Prix, which I got for a quid. So I was like, I'll have that as well.
Yeah.
It's quite an obscure title itself, as the racing games go.
You're getting there with your
I'm
collection.
Getting there. Yeah. I'm at 111 titles now. So closing
what
in
left?
On the big 100 left, So getting there slowly. And then I said I'm going to instigate that whole 10 carts at random from a random name generator thing and then buy one of them box just to slow me down so I'm not going, oh God, I could buy this, I could buy that. And then I just focus on buying and playing games and kind of slow myself down. Hopefully by the end of the year I'll have done it, though. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
So we'll see
what
how
are you
going to
do when you've got every Game Boy game?
Well, I'm going to continue by graphic, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, I did one on Adventure Island, which
is a
game I've been playing this week. Very much enjoyed.
Yeah, look good. I have to try
I think
it.
I've talked about it on the podcast before, though, so I won't. Pleasantly surprised that it's not Wonder Boy, that it's a better version of Wonder Boy.
It's based on Adventure Island 2.
Exactly. That's why it's better than Wonder Boy.
Yeah, I watched.
I'm going to slowly keep documenting them, obviously, for Biographic.
Are you going to have a party?
I might have a party. I don't know.
It sounds like an occasion for a party.
Well, like
it's a big deal.
I've still got the American games to go and the Japanese ones after that. I don't know how
well,
far...
Well, once you've got this 110 or whatever
I'm going to get... There's 60 American Game Boy games.
Extra, on top of that.
That I need to get on top of that. But a lot of them are sports titles, and I have a lot of the ones I already got.
I didn't
realise
that was part of your goal, to collect the American and Japanese ones as well.
Well, the American ones definitely is. I don't know about the Japanese ones, because I got a few titles I wanted when a good friend of mine, Matteo, went to Japan. He brought a few on my want list back for me as a birthday present. And I played a few of them, and despite their somewhat easy nature, a lot of them are very inaccessible because there's a lot of script in between levels. And it's just like, well, I wish I was enjoying this more. So I don't know if I get the same buzz out of Japanese
games.
You have
to be selective what you pick out of the Japanese.
I think I do.
Library,
there's a lot of JRPGs and stuff, and I don't know if... it's like, is there any point of buying them? Yeah.
You won't use them.
No.
And that, in the end, that is the idea, that you want to play these games.
Exactly.
You know.
And there
maybe some of them you don't really want to play, but
well, you
at
know,
least try them.
Each of them have their own unique aspects. Each of them go, okay, I can see they were trying to take off Mario here. I can see they were trying to take off this game here. Oh, this is a really interesting mechanic that then this developer later used in this game, which is a good game.
Is your goal to become a Game Boy historian of sorts?
I wouldn't say
I think
say
what
no
you're
to
doing
that.
Is you're chronicling the highs and lows of the Game Boy library.
Well, I'm
one
trying
one cart at
to,
a time.
Which is paining some people's wallets who watch the series, but
really, so yeah. People are
people
watching
are
them and saying,
taking
oh,
the recommendation and saying like, "Hey, I like this game," or me saying, "I like this game," and then going, "Yeah, I like the look of this game. I'm going to buy it." Mm. So, I've influenced a few purchases. Hopefully, I'm not. If the channel does become more popular, it's hopefully not going to spike certain titles' prices. That's my only fear.
Well, if it was to become exceptionally popular, then perhaps that would...
Yeah, I kind of don't want to do that, you know? Like, it'll, you know, I'll take that if it comes to it. I doubt it ever will. I will ever get to that level.
One game it'll probably never spike is The Lion King.
Probably not. I want to show you, because I've arranged these Game Boy titles.
You know, I mentioned Lion King again, because I keep going back to it. Strangely enough, I get some kind of strange fascination out of that game.
I know you feel.
I was playing it again today. I can rarely get past the first level. I actually found it easy to play it on a Game Boy as opposed to the GameCube, which I was trying to do today.
Should play it on Game Boy Advance. It's a lot nicer, I feel. So, yeah, I actually, before last week's podcast, I think we mentioned it on there, I actually categorized all of my games.
Oh, you did? So it's not in some sort of random order anymore.
I have... I put like Nintendo and original titles in one. So like there are games like Kirby's Dream Land, there are games like Mega Man that are part of a long-running series, but are unique in their gameplay. They're not a straight-up port of something. Though it does kind of dip. So there's that. There's one with like arcade-style experiences, so arcade ports of existing games to the Game Boy and things like pinball games and stuff like that. Then there's one full of sports games, and then there's a licensed game one, which is this lovely folder.
Fantastic. I love a good licensed game. There aren't many of them.
Just flicking through to what starts the page of shame.
A page of shame?
Yes. There's True Lies, which I actually quite like. Cliffhanger,
why
Darkman, Cool World, Gremlins 2, Judge Dredd, Waterworld and Dracula. I've left the space that is in the top of the folder for when I get Last Action Hero, which there's also a Game Boy
there's
game of.
There's a trend here. You've got Stallone and Schwarzenegger films on
I
this
have.
Page.
they're also stemming in from Terminator on the previous page, and then Robocop's there because this is Terminator versus Robocop game, and Aliens seem to fit very well.
Cliffhanger's a good film, though.
Yeah, well, very entertaining. The game's not that bad, to be honest with you. James Bond 007's okay. Universal Soldier 2 is actually Turrican 2. Navy SEALs is pretty ass. Hook, Pagemaster's not great. Dragon Art's very unique. Beetle was an awful game. Top Gun Guts and Glory is an awful game. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, it's top-notch. You've played it before.
Yeah.
And then Batman by Sunsoft, which is...
Oh, that one we talked about on the podcast briefly.
Yeah, shooty jumpy nonsense. And Revenge of the Joker is also the same, but I don't have that yet.
You have Batman Forever, though, I see.
I do, which is an awful, awful game. It's made by Acclaim. They really don't deserve the name Acclaim, because they just... I just don't get it. Like, this Batman game is pretty much the same as Iron Man, Exo Manowar in Heavy Metal, as we discussed last week. It's really ass. Like, the sprites are awful, everything else. Casper's actually quite interesting. It plays a lot like...
Casper the Friendly Ghost, I'm pointing at
here. Yes, it plays a lot like an arcade game that I can't remember. Essentially, you have to, like, knock a bit of platform out under an enemy and they slowly start falling down and then you run up to the top and jump on their heads.
Ah, it's nothing like this bigger console counterpart.
No, it is not. You do not run around a mansion finding things and fighting ghosts. I really like that PS1 game. I should probably pick that up.
It
seemed like a pretty good game.
I was really into Casper when I was younger. When the film came out, I got Casper everything. I had a Casper-themed birthday party, I think I probably told you. We ate Casper pasta shapes and had a Casper birthday cake.
Nice.
And I got Casper gifts from friends.
Yeah.
It was Casper-centric. Casper cake, Casper mini rolls, chocolate rolls.
Yeah. Well, it's by Natsume, the people who do Harvest Moon and stuff. So...
I remember seeing the screenshots of the 3DO version.
Yeah.
I'm getting rather excited at the time.
Yeah, and then there's...
I think it was the 3DO or the Saturn. It was one of the two.
Okay. Flintstones, Jetsons, Adam's Family, Popeye, Tom and Jerry, Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
Some good ones. There's Space of the Turtles games, Missing a Power Rangers one, McDonald Land, which is just cool spot.
You see, a lot of this is childhood memories. These are characters we all remember fondly from our youth.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it's... I was thinking about that today, about modern games and how there's not as much of a... Because I play games a lot to connect me with my youth.
Yeah.
I think retro games, at least. You know,
yes.
It's not always the fact that they're great classic video games. Sometimes it's just because I remember The Lion King from being a child and enjoying playing the Master System game. And so I'm drawn towards these things.
I think licensed games aren't really what they once were. Like... If you look at this folder, this is full of licensed games almost. There's almost 90 licensed games in here.
Yeah.
And you think about it, and there's not really that many around now. Like, yeah, you get Disney games. Yeah, you get Star Wars games. But, I mean, the most popular games these days are generally off existing IP, right? Like, they are your Call of Duties. They are things that are games themselves, like Assassin's Creed. I don't think... there's that much need for a licensed title now. Like, I mean, there are obviously lots of Lego games, which cover a large part of that market. Like, they are skinned to be Batman and The Hobbit and Lego Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But short of, like, handheld titles, perhaps, where you tend to see things like Phineas and Ferb and... that kind of ilk, or if there's a new Disney film out, there will be something for those. It's not really a lot of licensed games that...
No, not on the big...
really
on the big consoles.
...break through. I guess it's because the cost of games is so expensive these days. It's not like you can just easily get a small five-man team to make you a Game Boy game of The Lion King or Aladdin.
Yeah, it's probably down to mobile phone games as well, taking up a huge chunk
Yeah, that's
of that
true. I mean...
market.
My girlfriend plays a lot the Frozen game. That's kind of a lot like Bejeweled, that kind of thing. So I guess it's just skinning existing mobile games with IP. Now I guess that's enough.
There's also the shift away from games for kids on the big consoles.
There is.
The games I've got for my PS4 now, I've got Shadow Mordor, quite a violent, bloody game.
Yes.
I've got Mortal Kombat X coming soon.
Yeah.
I purchased that one. And some of the other titles I'm interested in are all quite violent action games, and that seems to be the main focus of the newer consoles to me. I'm trying to think of other things. I've got Peggle 2, and I've got games like Flockers and Flower. And
there's obviously, like, I mean,
arcade.
Most of the young kid market is aimed, I guess, at Skylanders and your Disney Infinities, I guess. They are the two
and Little Big Planet,
bigger titles.
I guess.
Perhaps.
I was
guess
playing Little Big Planet 2 earlier
I guess
today.
That is skewed down in age,
still
but
good.
I mean, do you really think that there are that many? Well, maybe there are. I imagine there's probably quite a few kids playing Little Big Planet, actually, just because of Sackboy's adorable nature. I mean...
Mm. Yeah, I still don't know how popular Little Big Planet is now. I know at the time it was incredibly...
The first one was.
Popular.
Like, I remember there even, like, Sackboy collectibles. I have a few of them, where he's wearing, like, a Mexican hat and this kind of stuff.
But maybe the PS4 is the wrong place for Little Big Planet now.
P- perhaps?
I don't know. It just feels weird.
It doesn't really fit in with the Sony brand ethos. But then again, like, you tend to get, like, well, I don't even think downloadable titles are. I was going to say they're more catering to people like myself who love retro games or an old school experience. I mean, like, especially like roguelikes and stuff, the domination of that on consoles now with games like Spelunky and Tower of Guns, this whole, like, it's really hard thing is something that appeals to people of our generation, perhaps, but not necessarily to the younger one, maybe. Like, I mean, when you can get eagles in Angry Birds that do the level for you, and Mario gifts you with a gold Tanuki suit so you can just get through a level. Mm-hmm. I mean, kids these days kind of have it easy.
I'm just thinking, if I was a parent now and my little kid wanted a games console, you know what, I'd get them, because when thinking about the Xbox One and the PS4, there's not much there to interest them.
3DS. It would be the obvious choice for
Or a Wii U.
I don't even know if I'd get him a Wii U, to be honest with you. Like, think about it. Think you're a parent, right?
You're kind of restricted with a Wii U now, I guess, because there's less licensed games and a lot of Mario, I suppose.
There is, I mean.
And Kirby and Yoshi.
as much as I love the Wii U, like, I can't really see, like, my nephew's 11 now. I can't really see him maybe playing a lot of the games that I would play on that console, like, I don't think my nephew would pick up Pikmin. I don't think he would pick up Wonderful 101. Maybe Donkey Kong. I quite enjoyed the Wii one. Mm. Maybe Mario Kart and Smash Brothers probably. But other titles, like, I don't really know. Like Wind Waker HD, maybe not.
Splatoon,
possibly, but I doubt it.
Yeah, that's a bit of a hard sell, I guess, Splatoon.
It is, especially with no voice chat. That's just fucking ludicrous. It's just like way to take the competitive edge out of your game, Nintendo.
I feel like times are a-changing, Matthew.
But not,
and I'm not quite
not Nintendo.
Yeah, I'm not quite happy with how things are changing.
Well, you know, you like very aesthetic-based platformers. Interesting enough, I've been playing one of those today.
Oh, have you? Go on, you tell me about what you've been playing.
A game that was free with the old PlayStation Plus.
I
finally got the internet, Thomas, which is a grand old thing. Like, almost two
it's
months
not bad, is it, the
since
internet?
I moved into this apartment, we finally have the internet again.
I was without it for 3 hours yesterday, and I was lost.
Yeah, you're having a bit of a panic. You even text me going like, have you still paid the internet? And I was like, yeah, it's on direct debit, it's fine, don't worry.
It is quite annoying, though, that my internet does cut out quite often.
Yeah.
Any ideas why that is?
Not a clue.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you survived without it for a little while.
Well, we were mooching our neighbour's internet, but we did last 3 weeks without the internet, and it was hell. We were having to use our mobile data to, like, stream things and whatever, but now we have the internet again, which is
I found
nice.
Out an interesting fact here. A half an hour Skype chat cost me about 54 megabytes.
Really?
You know, not bad, I thought. Actually, I thought it was going to be much worse.
I don't know. Marta and I Skyped for an entire week, so we were chatting to each other for like an hour and a half, and that caned my data usage. I ran out of data pretty fast on my mobile phone.
Mm. I wonder if it affects if you've got video on as well.
It does, definitely.
Okay.
I think so.
Because my phone doesn't have a camera on the front, so if I'm Skyping on my phone, the person Skyping me can't see me, I can see them.
Yeah.
I have to turn it around, but that means I can't see them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that's a shame.
Going off the point there. You were saying about this game that you downloaded that was free on PlayStation Plus. What could it be?
Well, I got the internet back, so I quickly looked at PlayStation Plus and said, which games have come out that I want to play in this two-month period where I haven't had the internet? Janus Sisters is very cheap at the moment. I did not pick it up, however, because I want a physical copy.
Also, it could be a game for kids.
It could be a game for kids. I guess this one kind of is kind of educational slant to it, but I picked up, and this is why I said most of the games on PlayStation Plus or PlayStation Store are more aimed at people of our generation who are pandering to the audience. I mean, like, the average console gamer is apparently around the age of 30, so that is also something to bear in mind.
Yeah.
But I picked up Shovel Knight. I've meant to pick up for a long, long time.
This is fantastic, and I wish I'd have waited. Because this is cross-play on PS3, PS4 and Vita.
Yes, it
is. Whereas the Wii U version is only playable on the Wii U.
Remember that time I bought DuckTales? Got burnt by that. Wasn't going to happen again. I would have bought it on the Wii U. I really did want to purchase it on the Wii U.
I wanted to support, you know, downloadable titles on the Wii U.
However, I have no hard drive space on my Wii U, and
I can't imagine Shovel Knight would be a big download.
I have no hard drive space. None. Ooh. Like, system updates.
You could delete DuckTales.
I don't want to delete DuckTales. Why would I want to delete DuckTales? It's the only game, like that and Earthbound, are the only two downloadable titles I have, and on my 4 gig, I have no space.
And it's what, updates?
Yeah, updates. And like
Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers and
Mario Kart.
For Mario Kart and like Amiibo thing, which I'm now probably going to knock off there because it's taking up a bit of room. So I picked up Shovel Knight. I picked up a game called Axiom Verge, which is only for PS4.
That's not free.
No, it is not free.
And Shovel Knight's not
Shovel
free.
Knight, it's not free either. Shovel Knight was on discount though, and so was Axiom
Verge.
£10
or something.
Yes. So I picked up them because Axiom Verge sounds very interesting. It's a third person action thing, like 2D, flat on, like Metroidvania style exploration game. With a bit of a twist to the genre, like it's got this whole slant that the weapons and things you collect aren't necessarily the weapons and things everyone else will collect. And in completing the game, you can find stuff that other people won't find. And a lot of the times there are so many things and they kind of randomly generated around the place you may not find them. So it sounds really good, sounds really deep. I haven't had a chance to play it yet because I played the free PlayStation Plus game this month, which is called Never Alone. I did also download Tower of Guns, and there's something called Asua something or other.
That's the one we talked about last week,
yes.
The teleporting platformer game.
Yes, yes.
I've forgotten its name again.
Flick back to your notes, Thomas.
Flick back to my notes.
Remember memories
past.
Find
out that I didn't even write it down.
Have you played it again since then?
Nope.
No? Well.
Oh, Aru's Awakening.
Aru's Awakening, that's the one. Yeah, so I've played Never Alone for a good chunk of the day. I'm on the final stretch a bit now. I don't really know how to feel about it. Like, I saw it, I remember it coming out, and thinking it looked
quite excited about
very
it.
Pretty. I was like, oh, okay, this looks like an interesting title. Kind of reminds me of that, what was the game that was on iOS by Frontier Studios? It's about wind, it's like North Wind.
Lost Wind.
Lost Wind.
That was the first game I played on my Wii, I think.
Yeah?
The first game I ever downloaded on the Wii, and I love it. Lost Wind, oh, fantastic game.
The aesthetics of this game, at least from the outside, looked a lot like Lost Wind. And so I was just like, well, maybe I'll pick this up because it kind of seems to have a similar vibe of using the direction of the wind in puzzles and things. However, it's more like Another World or like Heart of Darkness, but like a poor man's version of that. You play as a little girl and her little fox friend that saves her from a polar bear right at the very beginning of the game. And it's set in Alaska, you're an Inuit, and
we had this conversation earlier. Is it Inuit?
Is it Inuit?
Is it Eskimo?
No, Eskimo definitely
Eskimo's
isn't.
I think Eskimo's not
no.
a correct etymology, is it?
Eskimo definitely isn't, but Inuit is. Fortunately, I will hopefully learn what is right and what is wrong, because there's a lot of documentary things you get when you play in the game. You find a lot of these like insight things, and
you learn
you can
a little
watch
about
them
the
anytime. Yeah, it seems quite interesting. They seem to be a culture of storytellers, and that's what this is about like history and learning about how to survive in that harsh environment. To kind of passed on through story.
Educational game.
Yeah, it's quite interesting though. To be honest with you, I would argue that the documentary aspects of it are probably more interesting than the game. I know that sounds a bit of a harsh criticism, but it's not really that solid a title, I'm afraid. There are a few challenging puzzles, but there's been a few times where I've been able to do something that the game doesn't want me to do, and my character sprite is wigged out, and then I've died instantly because the game doesn't know how to handle it when it crashes. A few instances as well, you can play the game co-op. However, say I would be the little girl and I would be running to jump on something, and the AI of the fox wouldn't pick up fast enough that I was also going to do that. And on a timed section, either completely jump and miss the platform, or would be hit by an enemy there are very few of them in the game, I guess, for this reason, and then die as a result of that. And I was like, well, I wasn't even in control of that character. How
the
can
AI, it's not good enough.
The AI dying affect me jumping to this platform?
Yeah.
But it does.
Does it work for the most part? Yeah. Would you say it's really not so good?
To be honest, it's probably like a 5 out of 10.
The AI part.
Well, the game.
As a game,
I think. I've seen some harsher reviews, but maybe a 6. I'll give it enough. It's kept my interest enough, and the documentary stuff is that interesting that it's the first unlockable in the game I've actually given a shit about unlocking. Because you do get stuff as you progress through the story, but then there are like hidden ones where like there was a whole section where, because it is in this whole like crazy mythology setting, it isn't like a realistic story. There was a bit where I got to the height of this mountain after being shot out of the back of a whale. And,
wow, that sounds fun.
It
whale
was like
of a time.
The aura of the Northern Lights was kind of like a bad That's guy. Pretty. And oh, so oh, it looked very pretty, but it had like this ghost-like charm to it. And so it would go around the area, and it was just meant you had to time your jumps not to hit this thing. But if it caught you, it would grab you in its mouth, and the girl would be like kicking and screaming, and you'd be carried up into the sky and off screen. Uh-huh. It's kind of why I get the whole Heart of Darkness thing about it. There's one or two things like that intro section is kind of referenced in a little play way a couple of times, where there's a bit where you're running away from enemies and you have to swing on a rope and swing over its head, and then there's even a bit where you start a chapter underwater having fallen on a block of ice which is sinking, and you have to swim up. There's no tentacle trying to grab you, but you have to swim up out of the water, and then you can either go left or right, much like you can in another world. So interesting, but I would get it now if you have a PS4 while it's on PS Plus. I wouldn't necessarily pay £10 for it, which is how much it is. But the cultural stuff seemed quite fascinating. I watched one or two of the shorts before I started playing the game, and I think I will complete it to get those, watch those, be interested in that, and then maybe never play it again. It's not really got any lasting appeal for me.
I downloaded this. I'm not sure if I'm that inclined after watching you play it to pick it up and give it a go. I've got some other things on the go.
It's not really long. I've played it for about 2 hours. So, I mean, I'm at the end now. It isn't that long an experience.
Okay, so I've got 2 hours to kill. Yeah. Would you say it's a very difficult game? Or
No. To be honest with you, a lot of the disappointment for it for me and why I give it such a low score is it's not very intuitive. There are one or two sections where I was like, well, why didn't you make that apparent that I had to go and get this thing? Why didn't you, like, there are, like, spiritual orbs floating around the world that you have to, like, throw your little swingy weapon at, your sling. And some of those aren't very apparent. Like, some of them are hidden behind things.
So
but, like,
design issues.
The game isn't very forthcoming with what you can interact with and what you can't interact with a lot of the time.
But it looks so straightforward and so simple.
Yeah,
doesn't it? It doesn't look like there's be much room for errors like that.
I was reading an article the other day, and I can't remember what the article was about. It was about some puzzle game. I think it was about Box Boy, actually.
Oh yeah.
And they were praising that, and I think that will be the next game I purchase. But I'll wait until the end of the week when we get paid and then pick that up. But it was a Sid Meier quote, and he was saying that he always asks his design team when they're creating puzzles in his games, who's having fun here?
Yeah.
Is it the developer or the player? Uh-huh. And I think a lot of the puzzles are so rudimentary as well that I think it's more the developer having fun, because a lot of the time it's just kind of like, well, I have to use my sling because I have to use my sling. It's like, I got to get the girl up there in the first place to break through this wall, so why should I have to then break through the wall? Like, it's just adding time. It's like these sections where it's just like, well, it would have been nice if I could have just run through this, but now I got to use the clunky aim mechanic to hit a wall just while both of us can run through, even though we could have just done it anyway. I don't know.
So it's an 5-6 out of 10.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, it's free and it's a 2-hour-long game. Yeah. Anything longer than that, I'd probably say give it a miss, but I said, the documentary stuff's interesting, and you are a person who likes documentaries, so maybe there'll be something in it for you that way.
Mm. I picked up a game that was full of excitement and fun after enjoying a brief demo of it. It's a game called Blue Estate.
Oh, I just thought I was going to smell sarcasm there. What's Blue Estate?
Blue Estate is first-person on-the-rails shooter, which uses the motion sensor in the PS4 controller to aim.
Interesting.
And it also uses a swipe mechanic that not many games seem to use on the PS4 controller. And it's a lot of fun, and it's got a comedic tone. It's very accurate, and really the... It's got a great little mechanism where if you do move your position where you're holding the controller, you just press one button and it resets the crosshair to the middle, which is really helpful.
Yeah.
Very intuitive. Rather simple. I mean, it's got an interesting mechanic where you have a window in which you shoot your opponent before they shoot you back, which is seen as a circle on their chest where second circle starts in the middle and fills up the circle, and when it hits the edge of the circle, that's when it's going to fire.
Virtual Cop does that.
Oh, does it?
If I remember correctly, there is one arcade light gun game that does that.
So, I like that actually, but it does mean that it's quite slow in places when you're shooting.
Okay.
The comedic elements are things like where your hair will flop in front of your face, and you have to swipe up on the controller. There's a few things where you have to close doors and open doors where you swipe as well. And it's quite funny.
Okay.
It's not hilariously funny. Some of the jokes don't always work.
Yeah.
But on the whole, it's quite refreshing to have this comedy aspect to a first-person shooter.
Okay.
I mean, like Duke Nukem, I guess, is an example of that. It cost me about £5 or so, £5. I don't know if the game's incredibly long. I've just done the first level. I can see it perhaps getting a little repetitive. Even throughout to the end of the first level, I started to feel like it was maybe a little repetitive.
Okay.
But it's very satisfying, especially when you get headshots and stuff. And I imagine the humour and the situations will keep you playing to find out what happens.
How much did this game cost you?
Just over £5.
Just over £5? Okay, maybe I'll give it a look.
I don't know how long it is, though.
So. You said there's a demo, though, as well, right?
There's a demo. If you like the demo, try it out. It may be a case of maybe you get enough fun from just playing the demo.
Yeah.
Maybe I wondered this, whether I needed to buy the full game. But I'll soon see when, because I've only played this first level.
Maybe they introduce new mechanics. Maybe there's new twists.
Also, new settings, new enemies. You've got two weapons in this first level, a pistol and a shotgun.
Yeah.
And what I really like, actually, about the shotgun reloading mechanic is you don't have to reload the full...
shotgun. Yeah.
Shotgun. You can just hold it for a short amount of time and just put a couple of shells in.
Yeah.
So that was nice. And I don't think I've ever experienced that in a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it would be nice in that game is if you shot it and then you, like, wave the controller up and down. So they're like, click, click.
Yeah. You just press square to reload in this game.
Yeah.
But also you can... Situations where you have to go into cover. Well, you can go into cover if you want to. And you just simply press the reload button. And as well as reloading, you'll duck behind something.
Oh, okay.
Which is quite... It all works very well. Slow-mo sections, of course, come as standard in these sort
of
games now, but it's really enjoyable. I'd say it's probably just as much fun as something like House of Dead Overkill, which I could compare it to in terms of a comedy on the rail shooter.
Interesting. Okay, maybe I'll give that a look. Yeah, what was it called again?
Blue Estate.
Blue Estate.
Yeah.
I did see that on the thing. Maybe I'll have a look.
It's rather nice.
It's on offer at the moment, right?
It is. That's why it's
£5. Yeah. It is probably closer to £10, but maybe I'll have a look.
I also picked up the Neo Geo shooty game. I can't remember what it's called.
Interesting.
It's a PSP game which contains favourite Neo Geo characters like the dude from Metal Slug and a few King of Fighters characters.
Okay.
A couple of Samurai Showdown.
So by shooty game, do you mean like a Metal Slug style shooty
game? I mean overhead shooter where you actually play as any of these characters and they kind of fly.
Okay.
It's a bit weird, and they shoot projectiles.
Okay, so it's kind of like a Parodius-type vibe to it then.
Yeah, a little. Okay. There's little cutscenes where there's exchanges between the characters.
Yeah, okay.
And such.
What's that on?
It's on the... We can download it for PSP or Vita.
Okay. Maybe
Anyone ever still go on the PSP store and buy stuff for PSP?
Maybe.
I guess you can, can't you?
It must
still
exist. Yeah, you must be able to, right? Yeah.
Because a lot of these games available on PS Vita sales are PSP games.
Well, I guess maybe people are buying them and then downloading them to their Vita or putting them on a memory card or something, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. You must be able to still get on it.
You must be able to. You've got to. That's not bad. That was relatively cheap, about £3 or something. I bought it because I'm a fan of King of Fighters and Metal Slug and such, and... So you can play it vertically as well if you turn the console around.
Yeah.
Because it is a vertical scrolling game. And
that's nice.
If you're playing it landscape, you get a very, very small playing area.
But you can turn it around.
But you can turn it around.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. Which and then is... I guess you play with the stick and then the buttons.
Yeah, yeah. You pull down on the stick to fire.
Yeah.
You have to hold it with the...
Shit, why don't more Vita games?
I can't remember.
Yeah, anyway. The thingy PSP games do that. That's the first one I've heard of doing that. That sounds amazing.
So that's quite unique. I quite like
that
about it.
Man, I hope there's like an R-Type game on the PSP that does that. I'll have a look. I can imagine Saturn used to be able to do that, right? Like you used to be able to flip your CRT on the Saturn for some of the shooters, from what I remember.
I think maybe you can do it with the Karuga on the GameCube as well.
Yeah, I think you can do it with Darius 2 on the Saturn.
Yeah, a lot of these shooters, that vertically scroll like that, you can turn them round.
Interesting tidbit. I learned that the Darius arcade cabinet, the original one in Japan, had three tilted CRTs to make it look like a vertically scrolling shooter. So okay. They just had stacked CRTs.
That's a fun fact.
It is.
Hey, Matt, you ever played Borderlands?
Yeah, I have.
I like it. I got it for 50 kroner from the supermarket.
Which one?
Borderlands 1 and 2, double pack.
Oh, interesting.
50 kroner.
If you would like to play those on a Thursday with, say, Gareth, I would be interested because I have both.
But I have it on the PS3.
Oh.
It was only available on PS3, unfortunately. I know you have it on the
Dag nabbit, I got it on the Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, because it would have made a lot more sense, but it was so cheap, I couldn't.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? Like,
I've only played the first Borderlands. And I really like it. I'm very impressed. I'm glad that I never thought I'd get it.
Yeah.
It was only because it was cheap that I thought I'd give it a go.
I will tell you this. If you really enjoy the first one, the second one is a lot better.
I keep hearing this. But I thought I should start with...
Well, I wouldn't say play through to completion. I don't think there's any need because it gets very, very repetitive.
I can already think that it's going to get repetitive.
But the second one's got more action. The boss fights are handled a little bit better. And it does a lot more to it.
Conceptually, though, I liked, and I was worried when it said RPG elements. And I thought, 'cause I'm not an RPG fan, but it works fine. You know, I don't need to explain Borderlands to anyone.
No, I don't think so.
I like it, and there's a PS4 version now, isn't there? Of Borderlands 2. I don't know.
I don't know how the port is of that though. It's handled by the people who did the Vita port, and I hear the Vita port's not that great.
Okay, maybe do a bit of research on that.
Maybe there's a bit of frame rate issues. 'Cause that's what haunts the Vita port, apparently.
Okay, come on, the PS4 they can't. I
don't know. I'd heard whispers in early reviews that there was issues, but and that's why they went on this big rant, because it was just like, well, this game ran on the last console, why the fuck doesn't it run on this one?
Okay.
So
maybe not worth it. But I love the presentation. I love the characters. I love the Claptrap character.
Yes, Claptraps are awesome.
Is it very funny? Is there more than one Claptrap?
There are lots of Claptraps.
Oh, okay.
There is in Borderlands 2, I believe, a Claptrap character, so you can play as a Claptrap.
I am shooting a lot of funny dog things.
Yes, you were.
A lot of
skags.
Lot of skags.
Yeah.
It's when they come out of the little hole.
That's how I remember their name, because it's fucking loads of them. Skag. I believe the first boss is a big skag, from what I remember.
The first boss is a guy who has a couple of skags with him.
Oh, yes, it is, right. Yeah, yeah.
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 I got through that by the
skin
of my teeth.
In like a canyon full of skags.
Yeah, pretty much. You go into a little... den, a little lair.
Have you seen any of the mini guys with the hockey masks?
Yes.
Yeah, they're fucking hilarious, aren't they?
Called midgets, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Borderlands. I'm ashamed we got it for the PS3. I would have liked to play that with you, but never mind.
Yeah, maybe you can pick up PS3 for
50
kroner.
That's true, it's only a fiver.
That's really cheap. They had one more copy in the supermarket, Frontex.
Yeah, maybe so. I'll have a look.
I was lucky enough to get Little Big Planet as well.
Yeah, because they put the wrong price on it.
They put the Borderlands price on Little Big Planet too.
Yeah.
So Little Big Planet 2, yes, it is. Because I have that on my hard drive. I downloaded it as part of PlayStation Plus freebies. Yeah. And I knew it was taking up 7 gig. I thought, well, I'd get the disc version.
Yeah,
that's cool. Saves a bit of hard drive space. I know I've got the game then if I ever don't have PlayStation Plus. But I put it in, updates. It must have done like 7 gigs worth of updates as soon as I put it in.
It's
like, oh, great. Still a good game. Played a bit of that earlier. Good. I also played Sonic 4 Episode 2.
Right.
I stopped playing this game because I couldn't beat the boss on the third level.
Yeah, I tried to help you.
It's really easy.
What?
Yeah. I just don't think we were jumping high enough to hit Robotnik. Because if you jump up, you get a small window when his cockpit's open. He's in this big robot machine. And you just hit him.
Oh, really?
It's really easy. I don't know why we couldn't do it.
Why the fuck couldn't we do it? That's odd. Yeah, okay. That makes me a bit sad that we didn't figure that out.
This game's much better than Episode 1. It still doesn't really push all my buttons. I don't really like the way Sonic moves. And it's a bit floaty, a bit feels blobby. I don't know what it is about it. But presentation-wise, it's excellent.
Yeah.
I really love the way it looks. Music's a bit hit and miss.
Okay.
But I did a little bit of research on the game, because isn't it strange that there's been no more episodes?
Well, it kind of just died a horrible death, right? I think it got so well, universally
the first
packed.
One play was very well received, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because it's not as good as the second one so far, at least. But a lot of people bought it.
Yeah.
And so they made the second one. I don't think so many people bought the second one. And because they plan to make a third if people bought the second. And now they've officially announced cancelled. They're not doing any more with it.
Three, yeah. It's a shame.
So Sonic 4 remains a strange oddity in the Sonic
universe,
franchise.
Yeah. That's odd.
But I think actually I'll go back to it because it's not bad. And it's a 2D Sonic platformer.
Indeed.
A modern one, which rare these days.
Indeed.
I played a lot of games this last week.
Yeah, no, I'm quite surprised. I haven't played that many. I've said what I've played.
When I've played them, I've not played them for long.
Yeah, you just put them in and gone,
I played Borderlands for a good couple of hours. I got quite into that. Sonic 4, not for so long. But Hitman 2, maybe for half an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know why I
kill
started
a load
playing
of people,
Hitman 2.
Align their bodies to spell things. That's what we used to do.
I just powered a lot of bodies and I undressed them and powered them on top of each other.
Yeah, we used to do that too. Something satisfying about it.
But this game is incredibly well made.
It is.
It's fantastic. It holds up now.
I really
want to
get Hitman Go on iOS. I hear that's also very good.
Right.
It's like a stripped down basic Hitman game. It's made like a... I don't even know how to describe it. It's kind of made like a board game.
Right.
Or an old mechanical toy, like a maquette. But it sounds very interesting. Mm. Yeah.
Another game I played today was Rogue Leader.
Rogue Leader?
And
interesting.
I realised I've never done the first level.
Really?
The trench run.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I can't see. I tried about three times today to do it, and I kept getting up to the... exhaust port, just for the exhaust port of the Death Star, and crashing or using all my photon torpedoes or...
Yeah, I used to fuck that up a lot.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward. You just need to get the knack of it and
I
not
just
use
need
photon torpedoes.
I couldn't see it. I was like staring down the trench like...
Yeah, and then you crash into the trench.
Where
right?
is it? And then you hit them.
Yeah. I used to do that a lot too.
So other than that though, it's a great experience. It's been well documented how good of a Star Wars game Rogue Leader
well,
is.
Well, all of the Rogue Squadron games are pretty
good. I was a big fan
good.
Of the original Rogue Squadron. Yeah. Some of the later missions were rather difficult.
Yes,
but
some are very, very hard. I want to really pick that up. I want to get Battlefront as well, 1 and 2 for the PS2, just to replay those. And
really?
I haven't played them in such a long time. I actually can't... Like Adam, friend Adam, was describing to me in great detail this scene in Rogue Squadron 2 where like you're an X-Wing at night and you go on like
Rogue
a bombing
Squadron
mission.
2?
Not Rogue Squadron, sorry, yeah, Battlefront 2 where you go on like a bombing mission. And he described it so vividly that I'm like, okay, I need to play the Battlefront games again.
I had both Battlefront games on Xbox.
Yeah.
When I was kind of slimming down my Xbox collection with games I didn't play, I got rid of the original Battlefront and just kept the second one.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it's more comprehensive. It's got the prequel stuff in. The other one's entirely original trilogy.
It is,
I believe.
Yeah.
I did this quite a lot. I also got rid of the second Knights of the Old Republic game because I thought I'll never finish the first one. So what's the point on the second one? But yeah, I maybe I'll go back to it. I was just like, I got the urge to pick up a GameCube controller and give it a bash.
I pick one up every week on Biographic. You can watch it at youtube.com/Biographic. Check it out.
You pick one up to play your Game Boy games
I
with
do,
the
yes.
Game Boy player on the GameCube. May we point out?
Yes. Lion King, already talked about
Lion King, Mortal Kombat on the Vita, because I'm anticipating receiving my copy of Mortal Kombat X soon.
You know when it arrives, you're going to say to the person carrying it, get over here, and then take the box off them.
I probably won't be there because I'll be at work.
Yeah, that's true.
But still. It's a nice thought.
Indeed.
But the Vita one plays very well.
Vita did
it's a version of the last Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed a bit of that on the bus until I got frustrated. I couldn't beat this guy.
I hear Mortal Kombat X is riddled with freemium content, which I'm a bit concerned about.
I keep hearing this, but I haven't actually seen a character list. I'm dreading seeing the list of characters and thinking, oh, where's this one? Where's that one? And then finding out that I have to purchase them separately.
A lot of characters are also like you fight against them in the story mode and yet they aren't there. So everyone's just like, oh, well,
no.
You know, it's a season pass and then you have to buy them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I think actually I noticed that Sub-Zero was a downloadable character, and I do hope there's a version of him in the game. This is just a special version of Sub-Zero.
I really don't know.
Yeah, that's a little bit scary.
I don't know if he's not in there or not. Maybe his son or daughter is in there. Maybe he isn't. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there's enough content, though, to keep...
Did he get killed in the last one? Because this kind of follows the chronological thing of the last one. So
I didn't play through all story mode in the last one, but I thought it was very impressive. I love the way it...
forces you to change characters.
Forces you to change characters.
That was pretty awesome.
But it flowed incredibly well. You were in a cutscene one moment, and then suddenly you're in the fight.
Yeah.
And it was seamless.
I remember watching you playing that and being quite impressed by that game. I need to pick that up if it's cheap.
I remember when it was free on PlayStation Plus and I downloaded it. I already had the Xbox version, but I was like, let's have the PlayStation one as well.
Oi.
Woohoo, why not? And I think that's everything I've bought and played this last week. We've already talked about Mario Kart at the start of the podcast. But
yes, okay, interesting.
That's it.
Yeah, I think that brings us to the end then.
It was a nice final one. End. We haven't talked about what's new.
Have you listed it down, Thomas?
No, I haven't.
No, exactly.
But I think we covered all of April. I've got my pen.
I think we did, and we've said that Kirby's coming out next month.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're coming to May.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick that up. I believe that my girlfriend will like Kirby to play that one because she really enjoyed Power Paintbrush. So
I want to get it, but I'm just trying to save my cash at the minute.
It's fair enough. If I wasn't getting it from Arthur, I probably wouldn't pick it up.
Mm. And Yoshi's out in June, I think.
Woolly World, I will definitely buy. I really enjoyed that game. But
I think Splatoon's before Woolly World, is it?
Splatoon is also in
May,
June.
Isn't it?
Is it May? I don't know if I want to pick that up or not. I might do. I don't know. I'll see what reviews. I'm interested in the campaign. So
is there only like three games coming out for Wii U in the next...
In the foreseeable future, yes. Seems that way.
Project Cars is down, slated as a Wii U release.
Yeah,
eventually.
It is. Isn't that out on PS4 already?
It's out this month on PS4 and Xbox One. And it looks fantastic for someone who likes driving games. I know it's not your...
It is not my forte. But
I'll probably get the Wii U version, though, because I want to play it with...
Gareth.
With my friend Gareth, who we play every week. We played a bit of Black Ops 2 online. That was a bit of fun.
Blops, were you the only ones there?
No, actually, I found that loads of people have still played it.
Oh, great.
Last time I tried to play online, I couldn't find anybody.
There was no one there, I remember. Maybe it's you playing it alone on a Sunday morning.
Anticipation of Black Ops 3. Did you see the teaser trailer?
No, because I don't care. I've got to be honest.
Hey, I think the launch trailer either drops tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
The proper trailer of the game. For those who were waiting patiently for Black Ops 3.
I watched the Rock Band Live trailer as well, by the way.
Yes, it looks good, doesn't it?
It does. It looks interesting. Mm. I'm interested to see how they handle being able to play whatever songs you want, because that band mode thing is only like a single player or co-op experience, and then when you want to play Guitar Hero or whatever songs you want to play, I think you need to play them on the music video thing that they have, the Rock Band online thing.
Oh yeah, you've got
Guitar Hero, sorry, not Rock Band. So we'll see, because I think that's probably going to be a subscription or something. And I if that is, I won't buy it.
I kind of don't like the presentation. Guitar Hero to me is totally about rock and metal and outrageous comedy characters.
Well, like I don't really mind that they got rid of the aesthetic.
More
SingStar
now, I suppose.
I like what
they're doing with it, though. I do like it. It's something different, and maybe it was time for a change. But
yeah, I hear that you can play with the instrument on your phone. Because it's all video, because it's like an FMB game, you can play it on your phone wherever you are. Like, despite it being like a PS4 instrument or a 360 instrument or whatever.
So you don't need an instrument at all? You just use your phone?
You can use your phone as like the screen if you want to play it somewhere. You just take the guitar and play it on your phone or your iPad.
Oh,
like, the iOS version of it is like the same as the PlayStation 4 version, because obviously it's just music with like things going up.
Your guitar's not very portable, is it?
No, it's not. Maybe they'll release like a mini guitar, or maybe the guitar will fold. They haven't shown the guitar properly, right?
No, I haven't seen. I've only seen the buttons.
Maybe the guitar's quite portable. Maybe it like locks in. Yeah, the buttons looked interesting. This whole like black and white thing. I don't quite know how it's going to work though. I know there's arrows pointing up and down, but I still think it's going to confuse me. Oh well.
We'll see. I'd love to give it a go.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't buy it.
I won't
without
either.
Trying it.
Hoping that someone else will and.
We can just sit there hoping that one of us will buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Both of us.
So I don't know anyone else who's going to buy it.
I don't know. I maybe know a few people back home as to you that may buy it. So.
Oh yes, that's quite true.
Yeah. Okay. Brings us to the end.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for listening. Your continued support is appreciated. If you are one of these people that does listen to this podcast every week and does like it, why not go to iTunes where you can subscribe to it and then you can listen to it every week without fail on your Apple device. If you are unfortunate enough not to have an Apple device, if you are preference towards a Windows phone or an Android device, perhaps, or a BlackBerry, I don't know if BlackBerry's still a thing, tommattattack.com/podcast or blastprocess.com, and you can listen to this fine podcast there as well. You can also please give us a cheeky rate and subscribe, as I've said. I've done the subscription part, but not the rate part. Rate us in iTunes. It is a big help. You can also find us on Twitter at TMAcast. I'm using that account more and more sparingly. Maybe I will hand over the reins to Tom.
You've mentioned this for weeks.
I have. I probably should get on that. I've got the password. I should give it to you. And, yeah, you can also maybe listen to us in Stitcher, if Stitcher's still a thing. I'm not quite sure. Right, until next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Have a good one.
Have a good one. Game on.
Game on.